You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, there are a lot of reasons why it can be hard to say no when you're asked to do something. But our guest says that there are important reasons to learn how, and that instead of damaging relationships, it can actually make them stronger. We'll find out why.
First, there's been a lot of concern about monarch butterflies in recent years, especially because of their long migration route and their wintering habitat in Mexico being vulnerable. Sadly, those fears are well-placed. They have experienced a decline of 90% in the last 20 years, and like other species in crisis, they face challenges from climate change, habitat loss, and more.
Joining us now to talk about monarch butterflies is Colin O'Meara. He's the president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation. Colin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, we're hearing these numbers about the decline of the monarch butterflies over the years, and it sounds like a big part of the story is habitat decline. What have we seen over the last couple of decades?
Yeah, so over the past, say, 15, 20 years, we've seen a population of monarchs making the annual migration drop from over a billion monarchs to 50 or 60 million in the last couple of years. And these are monarchs that over several generations in the same year, but over several generations go all the way from overwintering habitat in Mexico up to Canada through, you know, right through beautiful Wisconsin on their way. And the populations have just plummeted. And there's a variety of reasons, but one of the big ones that we estimate that we've lost 165 million acres of milkweed habitat across this central flyway corridor.
What are we losing that habitat to?
So it's a range of things, but the biggest one is just development, and that might be conversion of grasslands and you know, wetlands and other natural areas for agriculture. It might be for housing developments, but we've become very good at it as a society at eradicating any kind of plant that we don't absolutely want and exactly where we want it. And so, you know, 30 years ago, if you were traveling in Wisconsin looking at farm fields, you'd see, you know, patches on the edges of, you know, different kind of native plants or, you know, kind of uncultivated areas. You don't see a lot of that now. And folks are, you know, farming right to the edge. You know, median strips in highways are, you know, often perfectly manicured with grass. And so a lot of these places that provided important milkweed habitat for species like monarchs have just been basically eradicated through a combination of monoculture crops or just kind of landscaping in a way that doesn't value the native species as much as before.
And big picture, it sounds like you're making the case for a corridor, a migration corridor, north-south for the monarchs. What would that look like?
All of us were in third or fourth grade, right? We had that first experience with the monarch, and we learned about the stages of metamorphosis. We learned about the chrysalis and becoming a butterfly. The one thing that I think maybe we didn't all take away was the importance of kind of habitat corridors and making sure that at every step of their journey from Mexico and through the Great Lakes and then into Canada, that there's sufficient kind of milkweed habitat for these species to lay eggs on, to eat, and then, you know, kind of move on. And so what we're trying to do is basically build out this habitat corridor to address the deficiency that I mentioned before. And if you look kind of like through the central flyways, starting way down south in, you know, Laredo, Texas, and San Antonio, up through your neck of the woods, that central corridor, it's about 1,500 miles. If we can plant a significant amount of habitat there, we should be able to at least quadruple, if not improve the monarch populations even more in the next couple of years.
Let's talk about what that would take. I want to get into individuals, say property owners and farmers in a minute. But it sounds like this is a big project. It would take more than that. What would national and state governments need to do to participate in this corridor?
Yeah, I talk about it often is we have to kind of crowdsource the solution, right? You're going to have a whole bunch of actions at pretty much every level. And at the national level, we formed a partnership with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the leadership of Dan Ash to focus their resources on this crisis, and Tom Melius, who runs the region for Wisconsin and Minnesota, has been just a great champion as well. And so what they're working with us on is actually convening state-level conversations among the state agencies, among, you know, kind of different nonprofit partners, conservation groups, to talk about what the state plan should look like and kind of what are the areas that make the most sense. The next piece is working with the mayors, and there's been great leadership across the region. 153 mayors have already signed the National Wildlife Federation's pledge to help conserve the monarch, and they're all taking actions to do that. And I think we're seeing everything from planting of median strips at parks to improving policies that might make it hard for folks to have, you know, milkweed in their backyard. Some places, some municipal building codes actually don't allow you to have milkweed over a certain height in your yard because it's considered an eyesore. And so we're fixing a lot of things like that. And so right in Wisconsin, We've seen Mayor Vandersteen in Sheboygan and the Fitchburg mayor and the Hales Corner village president already step up. We're really hoping to work with the mayor of Madison and others in the region as well. But so that's the city piece. And then getting down to the individuals, we're encouraging individuals to basically sign up to be a butterfly hero. And if they go to our website, the NWF.org, that's NWF.org. If they go to the website, they send us a quick picture of them flashing the universal sign for a butterfly, which is the kind of hands folded across your chest. And we'll actually send folks a packet of milkweed. We'll send out kind of a how-to kit, a little Ranger Rick nature guide. We public Ranger Rick magazine, so we want the kids to have a good kind of outdoor guide for them when they're doing different naturalist activities. And so there's really things, again, it's federal, it's state, it's local, and it's individual. And to do this well, it's going to take all those entities working together, all the way from Texas, all the way through Wisconsin.
We're talking to Colin O'Mara from the National Wildlife Federation about efforts to turn the tide on declining numbers of monarch butterflies. Colin, let's talk about the impact. What do we lose when we lose monarch butterflies and the numbers you're talking about?
So the monarch is an iconic species, right? I mean, I think all of us had that kind of that childhood experience, and all of us can remember, you know, times when there were probably more at different parts of the year. But they also provide an incredible ecological value, and that's they're pollinators. And one out of every three bites of food that we all eat is basically courtesy of a pollinator, whether that's a native bee or a butterfly or, you know, some birds. And so when you start losing these pollinators at scale, it's pretty disruptive to the entire way we source food in this country. And you know, as alarmed as I am about the monarch recovery, you know, we're also doing a lot of work with, you know, native bees of different kinds that are in peril in many parts of the country. And so, you know, wanting to make, if you want a healthy food supply, if you want to, you know, continue to eat that, you know, maybe that chocolate from down south, or, you know, that great fruit, piece of fruit, you know, that's because of pollinators. And so we need these species to thrive. And so they're not just pretty, they're pretty helpful as well.
As you mentioned, we count monarch butterflies, migrating monarch butterflies, in the tens of millions, which sounds like a lot, but compared to that billion number, not so much. Should monarchs be considered an endangered species?
So there's been a petition that's gone before the Fish and Wildlife Service to try to have them listed. And what we've been saying is that because monarchs cover almost the entire country, more than half of them are in the Central Flyway, that there might be better solutions than just strictly listing it under the Endangered Species Act. So, you know, we've been encouraging these, you know, kind of voluntary efforts and efforts of mayors and states and governors to be given a chance to work for a little bit. But then if they fail, I think then we have to have a serious conversation. But typically the Endangered Species Act is the last resort. And so I think there's some things we need to try to do first. Last year in Mexico, we actually had a pretty good habitat, pretty good overwintering climate, you know, kind of weather. And so the numbers were a little better last year. So there's some upticks. And then we're also seeing, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of acres of milkweed being planted right now. So I'm confident that's going to work. I don't think listing will be necessary, but, you know, as a last resort, you know, I think it's important enough to keep these species thriving. So, you know, my daughter, who's four, and hopefully her kids, you know, many years down the road, can have the same experiences we had growing up.
Colin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Colin O'Mara, president and CEO of the National Wildlife Federation. He joined us to talk about different approaches to protecting monarch butterflies and other vulnerable species.
Coming up, do you have a hard time saying no even when you really should not be saying yes? We'll talk about why learning to say no can be one of the most important skills to develop. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Right now it's time for a check of the latest news. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.